for us. I'll open the work session on Senate Bill 245. I want to get the background on this, and then the Dexter and some other folks are going over the language along with economic development in the dash fours. So before we take action, I want to get their response. So would you tell us what the bill is?
Chairman Sobeck and members of the committee, with Senate Bill 245 and the A3, what we now have is basically your House Bill 2248-G, which you passed out already. And so what I did for your revenue impact is I, if it was a topic that you guys had already voted on in the 2248-B, I just put that underneath and, that section, and then I labeled new sections. So what I'll do is I'll just highlight the new sections that you have that came from a conference committee amendment and some other smaller changes. So to begin with, Section 3 of the bill, subsection 5, this section allows an eligible business firm which has already invested more than $5 million in an enterprise zone the ability to treat each division of a corporation that is eligible on its own as a qualified eligible zone business. So it's allowing each one to be a division to be separated as an eligible business firm. And then subsection 6 allows an eligible business firm with a total investment of more than $50 million to receive a property tax exemption after an enterprise zone has terminated if the zone sponsor approves the application. Okay, now this was designed, this section for Willamette Industries. It's going to have a tax impact of a little over $1 million per year beginning in the tax year 2001-2. Again, these property tax exemptions go for 3 years. So that's Section 3, and then with Section 3A, this is another new section. And this amendment addresses the laws which eligible enterprise zone businesses must follow to receive a tax exemption. Under current law, an eligible firm must comply with all local, state, and federal law applicable to the firm's business. But this amendment is just going to require Oregon businesses to comply with the local and Oregon, not all states, just Oregon state law and federal law. And economic development will adopt rules to define the effects of noncompliance on eligible business firms. And this is effective retroactively, grants for any tax exemptions that are granted before or after the effective date of this 1999 Act. Now, what this section is applying to is a Hyundai case, and there was a California court case in which Hyundai had a job discrimination issue. And then recently, Lane County has come in and questioned the current statute. And given the current statute, they feel like the property tax exemption should be taken away or potentially taken away. So the tax exemption for Hyundai last year was the first year that they had their full property tax exemption, and that was $11.1 million. So under current law, they could potentially lose that $11 million plus the next 2 years of tax exemption, so that's around $33 million over the next 3 years. So a change in the current law to this particular amendment will pretty much stipulate that Oregon law is the only law you need to be worrying about as far as state law, and then they would still continue to receive their property tax exemption.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Merkley.
Can you clarify which line in the bill that reflects this?
Sure. What we're dealing with in the Hyundai issue is Section 3A, and then just all of Section 3A. Do you see that? So we're making a small change, like on page 4, from local, and then it says state, and it takes out state and puts in Oregon.
So does that change the actual impact of the concerns that have been raised over Hyundai complaints?
Representative Mercury, those complaints were filed due to California state law. At least that's where the case originated, because it was dealing with a recruiter, job recruiter that was in California. The plant itself is in Lane County. It is in Oregon. But to my understanding of this is that once we've changed this, make this small change from state, meaning all different states throughout the U.S., to just Oregon, then that would eliminate that particular concern that is now being addressed.
Do I understand that what you're saying is that the term state is being interpreted generically to mean any state, mean all states of Oregon specifically?
That's correct.
Just also tell us why we're reconsidering 2248 and what happened to that other bill.
You mean the conference committee?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, my understanding of the conference committee was that there was another amendment put on and it went to the Senate, and that was dealing with healthcare facility and allowing this healthcare facility to get an exemption in a zone that had already terminated. So that is not at all in this amendment. The amendment that you passed out, 2248, would be engrossed, did not include that amendment dealing with the healthcare organization that was going to be allowed this exemption retroactively.
And so the conference committee cannot come to agreement. That's why we're recreating it in this case. Representative Morgan, did you have something you wanted to add to the record?
Hey, Bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm State Representative Susan Morgan. I represent District 46, which is the southern part of Douglas County and the northern part of Josephine and Jackson counties. And what I thought would be maybe a useful thing for you to have, you already have 2248.
Go ahead and give it to staff.
Just so you kind of refresh your memory how 2248 went through the system. My interest in this is that one of the amendments, part of this bill, has to do with a company called Roseburg Forest Products, which is one of the major employers in my district. And what this bill will do will allow them to build a laminated veneer lumber plant in a little town called Riddle, which is 10 miles away from my hometown. And what this means pragmatically for the families in my district is 150 family wage jobs. So my interest in seeing this bill go forward is that coming from a district where we're looking at 11% unemployment and an average family income of $24,000 a year, this is a really big deal to us, and we need to see this bill go through.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Cindy Morgan?
I'm still waking up here. Here with me, but this bill already passed the House and the Senate. And then
right, Representative
Concur. And
what happened is it went to the Senate, got amended. We came back here. We did not concur.
Uh-huh.
But I think this went originally from the Commerce Committee to Revenue. So the Commerce Committee chair was the one who made the motion, served on the conference committee report, because it had some what they considered to be special favors for a particular district senator, et cetera. And the conference committee failed to come to agreement, so that we're restarting the bill in a new vehicle as it passed the House, essentially, with this other change for the Willamette case in Millersburg.
If I might, Mr. Chair, what this bill is made up of is some very specific amendments to the enterprise zone legislation that are tailored to very specific situations. And so there are a number of areas in the state where this bill would make a big difference.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Merkley.
Representative Morgan, where in the bill is the change for Riddle?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Where in the bill is the change for Riddle?
I'm not sure. Perhaps the legislative staff could.
And could you fill us in? Was this part of the original 2248, the language that you were?
It was part of the original package. There were a number of modifications that were made to the Roseburg Forest Products part of it that were part of the conference committee amendments.
Okay.
We're waiting, Mr. Chair, we're waiting for staff to tell us where this is in the bill.
See, it's the part that allows aggregation between different enterprise zones.
What's the underlying theory there, Representative Morgan? what in the aggregation allows this plant to happen that wouldn't otherwise be possible?
Mr. Chair, we have counsel from Rosewood Forest Products that is more much more versed in the technical aspects. Would it be possible
sure.
for
Mr. Chair, Representative Merkley, my name is Robert Manicky. I'm a tax lawyer with Stoll Reeves, representing Rosewood Forest Products. My recollection of the bill, although I have not seen the printed copy of this one, and so can't point you to a specific section, is that the bill allows aggregation when a company builds a facility that qualifies under the $50 million 100 employee test, and then within a specified time period builds another facility that does not satisfy the $50 million 100 employee test, then both facilities can qualify under the bill. The key is that there has to be, the second facility has to be built within a specified time period, which I think is 1 year. Perhaps legislative staff can correct me on that if I'm wrong.
I personally don't remember, so I'm here.
So I think the thinking behind it is that if the same company is building two large facilities within a short time period of each other, then you aggregate the, and one of them clearly qualifies under the dollar and employee tests, then both should qualify.
Okay. Other questions?
We're still waiting for where in the bill this is located.
Maybe Dexter, who's back in the anymore. He was in the room a minute ago.
Thanks, so. Sir. Okay. Representative Merkley, page 26 of 28, 6 and 17. From there, it's talking about, I think, sub 1, subsection A, the business firm places one or more facilities in the same or another enterprise zone for which the business firm is certified, and then it's allowing then that at all facilities are or will be more than $50 million. Okay, so there's that aggregation of various facilities in one or another enterprise zone. Yeah, that was in there.
Yes. Is that the same language as it was in 2248?
Yeah, Representative Stillbeck, this is the language, and this was part of our A in growth, or sorry, 2248B in growth.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much. I want to ask Mr. Fish, are you comfortable with the content of the A3 and A4 amendments?
Mr. Chair, could it also be possible to get a comment from the Department of Revenue on this?
The sure.
Technical. Well, there obviously is one.
Go ahead.
My name is, for the record, Representative Strobeck, members of the Revenue Committee. My name is Arthur Fish, Enterprise Zone Coordinator with the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. And with regards to the amendment SB 245A3, 2243-A3, yes, I am comfortable with them. They are a clear reiteration of House Bill 248-E engrossed with amendments as have been recently suggested with respect to a conference committee -C26 for that bill. I'm comfortable with those. The -A4 amendments to this bill, SB 245, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with them yet. Some of my concerns have been explained, but part of the reasoning for them reflects a situation both past and present and future with respect to a one company bill. The policies envisioned therein are of a minor, if you will, acceptable nature in A3. So I'm not sure though if A4 will achieve all the purposes that A3 was meant to, that are of issue to. Now,
would like Mr. Hanlon, have an additional comment?
I would like to ask that company to maybe give you those comments if they could.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Craig Hanneman, the Land of Industries. I have a very brief explanation of Willamette's situation. In short, a multi-mill complex that we have along Interstate 5 in the Albany, Millersburg area has a new laminated veneer lumber plant that qualified for an enterprise zone of the Millersburg-Albany area. But in the application that we filed in 1995, we failed to include the paper mill itself, which is a separate group within a two-group company, Building Materials being the oldest group of that. There's a $125 million investment being made. Construction is underway right now. Perhaps you've seen that driving along I-5, and that's primarily for a recovery boiler. That's about $94 million of the dollars being spent. The enterprise zone, as I indicated, no longer exists, but you do have opportunities to utilize future investments for a period of time after that expires. The amendment that the Economic Development Department has proposed would remedy the problem, but to keep it very tight and not in any way create problems that folks would not want, I think there is a possibility where that could be tightened even further as a result of the application date and the like. Yeah. Does that work for you, Art?
Oh, yes. I mean, we'd be happy with it. We're perfectly comfortable with the effect, the policy effect. I get very few inquiries about whether divisions of a corporation can be treated separately anyway. But if the committee would be more happy with a more limited version, we have a couple, Mr. Hannon might give you a couple suggestions that I've offered, or I could read them to you.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm okay with the -3s, but I just wanted to know from what you were analyzing this morning, Mr. Hannon, with counsel, with your tax folks, as well as with OEDD, if the -4s are also acceptable to you?
The -4s, I don't think work. Okay. There were some changes made that create a problem for us.
Okay. All right. Then just very briefly, Mr. Maneri, thank you very much, both of you. I wanted to get your comments on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jim Maneri with the Department of Revenue. The -3s seem fine to us. I'm not aware of the problem with the -4s. Oh, it must be something very specific.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Merkley.
Could you expand on your concern about the -4?
I'm a member of our tax department here, but my understanding, the existing laminated veneer lumber plant application, which was approved, would put that in jeopardy. And the language that we would propose would just simply be, if the interest is in tightening up what exists in the well, not in the dash fours, but would be to delete $5 million and increase that to $25 million on page 2, line 31.
Of the dash threes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
And then...
And what was that amount? $5 million to what?
If you deleted 5 and inserted $25 million, that obviously would tighten that up. And then after line on page 6, after line 19, she added a section 3C that simply said ORS 285B 701 parent 5 applies only to a business firm flying on or before January 1, 1999.
That would okay, so that would tighten it by dollar amount and by date of application. Okay.
Yes.
All right, thanks. Mr. Hanneman, do you have a copy of that language? Okay, thank you. Chair would move a conceptual amendment then into the dash A3 amendments that we would change on page 2 of the dash A3s that we would change on line 31 the figure $5 or $5 million if you go to the next page and make that be $25 million. And then furthermore amend the dash A3s on page 6 in between line 19 and 20 to add a section 3C that would say that this provision only applies to a firm applying after the date that Mr. Hanneman read. And what was that date? After January 1, 1999. Before applying for something before January 1st, 1999, so it couldn't be future. Is there any objection to the conceptual amendment? That's adopted. Chair would move the dash A3 amendments as amended into Senate Bill 245. Any discussion? Any objection? Ordered. Chair would move Senate Bill 245 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative
Story. Aye.
Representative Mercer.
Aye.
Representative
Rosenthal. Aye.
Representative
Shatterman. Aye.
Representative
Wells.
Representative
Williams.
Representative
Brea. Aye. Aye. Senate Bill 245. I'll move to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Representative Shetterly, would you like to be the carrier?
Please, please carrier to do that.
38?
Thank you.
Okay, we'll close the... Oh, I also wanted to say to Mrs. Stoll, if she happens to be listening on the Internet, this has nothing to do with Indians. Gone.
Right, right, right. Indian country.
Or Indian taxes.
Indian land.
Indian country. I want to close the work session on Senate Bill 245. We're adjourned.